Hi, welcome to The Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Rudman. Today's interview takes me to Southern Oregon and artist Roxanne Evans Stout. She calls her business River Garden Studio, as she is inspired by the Klamath River and the birds, trees, and nature that she can experience so close to her home. Her artwork has evolved over the years into a collage style that incorporates paper, fabric, stitching, and found objects. She shares her techniques and artistic talent through workshops that she teaches all over the world, as well as online classes that are available through many websites. In our conversation, you'll soon realize that Roxanne truly has a well-developed left brain because she intuitively knows how to pursue art opportunities and is not afraid to create her own. This is Roxanne Evans Stout. Welcome, Roxanne. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Suzanne.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you. I've known about you for quite some time. I've admired your art, and as you just said to me, your art has evolved over the years, so I'm excited to talk about that. And I believe I'm catching you between two big trips. You were just in Europe, right?
Right. I taught a workshop in the Netherlands in a town called Dalen. And I was invited by this sweet woman, and we've become friends since then. We spent a lot of time together, and the workshop was amazing because there were people from all over, like France and Switzerland and where else? Well, of course, there were Dutch people and Spain. There was someone from Spain, too. And it's amazing how we all connected. And how everybody knew a little English, but there was a slight barrier there, not a big one. But, they were just, the women just touched my heart.
Oh, that's wonderful. How had you made connections with the woman who hosted this?
So she contacted me through my Facebook business page, which is called River Garden Studio. And she left me a message there introducing herself and saying she likes to have Americans go over once a year to teach, American mixed media artists. And she kind of introduced herself, and I wrote back and said I might be interested. And I gave her my email, and we started emailing.
That's just so exciting.
Yeah. And I said I would go if I could get my husband to go with me.
That's great. So you had a little vacation, too.
Yeah, we did. We went to Iceland first
and
explored for a few days. And then we went to France afterwards and visited my brother for, 5 or 6 days. So that was really great.
Wow, that's great. That's like a once-in-a-lifetime trip, really. Yeah.
And my husband was great on the whole trip. And I wasn't sure if he would like the traveling, but it was super.
Oh, that's great. What was it that you taught there?
I taught a class. I called it Collage Stories in the Netherlands, or Storytelling with Collage in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And we were doing book arts. And I went from, it was 3 days, and I went from doing backgrounds and adding very interesting things to the backgrounds. And then we went to collaging. And then we went to embellishing with stitching or attaching, and it was wonderful.
That sounds so much fun. Yeah. Did your class include tours of the neighborhood or where you were staying for the class members?
Yeah, my host arranged for a couple of field trips, and one was to a little candy shop, where a weaver. The lady who owns it is a weaver. And she also has the candy shop. And then that was just down the road. And then everyone stayed in bed and breakfasts, so they were close enough to walk.
Oh, that's great.
And then we took a field trip to a little a shabby, chic antique store where everybody shopped. And that was really very cool, too.
Oh, that's great.
So those were our field trips. Oh, we went out to dinner with the group. We had a meetup at my hostess's house, which was great. You know, so we were together a lot. We got to know each other. There were four husbands that were there.
Oh, that's nice. So yeah.
They came for our activities too.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think when they add the little field trips and of course having all the meals together, it makes the workshops that you go away to so much nicer, you know, because you can take the classes, but you're really there because you want to learn about the country too, or the city where you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we had our workshop in this beautiful restaurant called The Bander, and they gave us lunch every day, and you know, that's what my host arranged, and they had coffee and cookies, and it was lovely.
Oh, that's very nice. Does the host do more than one workshop per year?
Well, she usually just does one, but I think she's going to start doing a couple a year. And she's also going to be teaching her own
workshop
soon, too. So her name is Leslie Vanderhyde.
Okay. All right. And does she have a website where you can find her workshops?
No, but she has a Facebook.
Okay. I'll get these connections from you when we finish talking, and I'll put them on the show notes so people can look these things up, too.
That would be great.
Yeah, and find your business page. So
let me
start out by asking you about your business page. You call it River Garden Studio. Can you tell me what that means, and where did you come up with the name?
Well, we live in this area of Southern Oregon that's right below the Cascade Mountains, and I'm right above the Klamath River. It's between a town called Ashland, Oregon, and Klamath Falls, Oregon. And when we first moved here, we overlooked the river, and it was, you know, you felt like when you were, I'm on the top of a street. So we overlooked the river, and now there's houses all along the river. So our view is spotty, but it still has that feeling. So when I named the studio River Garden Studio, it was like I had a river garden.
Right.
And I don't really anymore, but we still have all the migrating birds and that feeling, the canyon wind coming down from the north, and that feeling of the river, even though you can't see it as well.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where the River Garden Studio came from.
And you're able to walk down to the river from your home?
Yes. Yes.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up on the river too, so I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it was the Banana River, which isn't as pretty a name as the Klamath River, but it was a very nice river.
Oh, that's neat. And that's Eagle Point?
No. My mom was born in Eagle Point and lived there, but then she met my dad after World War II. After World War II, the war was over, but he was stationed at Camp White, which is now White City, which is near you. And that's where she met him. She worked at Camp White, and she met my dad. He was from New York or New Jersey. When he finally got discharged, eventually she took a train all the way across the country to Grand Central Station to meet him, and eventually they got married. So, so then my parents eventually made it down to Florida. So I grew up in Florida on the river. So my mom just had so many great stories of Eagle Point and the area near where you live in Oregon, and we visited it quite a few times. So I just have a warm place in my heart for Oregon, Southern Oregon in particular. Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
Oh, it's just so beautiful. It's just so nice. Yeah. So let me go backwards a little bit. Can you tell me about where art first came into your life? Were you doing art when you were in high school, or when did it start for you?
Well, art started when I was a little girl. Right. I drew pictures all the time. I remember when I went into preschool or kindergarten, probably, the doctor was really impressed with my observations of, you know, drawing. He asked me to draw a man, and I drew the buttons on his shirt and the tie, and because that's how my
detailed
dad was. And and just the details. So I was observant all my life. And then my mother was an artist, so she encouraged me. And she was always doing art, so she always had had her art things out, whatever she was working on, and I would come home from school and get really excited about what she was working on and do art myself. So that art was just a huge part of my life.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then did you move on and continue doing art when you got out of high school?
Yeah, so I did a lot of art in high school.
Okay.
And then in college, this is a kind of a typical story. My mom and dad didn't want me to major in art. And you hear that a lot. You
yeah.
know, so many artists say that, but they all, many of them that say that, managed to get back into it. And I did.
They do. And sometimes it's much later, but they do.
Yeah. So in college, I still took lots of art, and I managed to make my own major. And it was actually, so it's a Bachelor of Science. It was a third natural resources, a third botany, and a third art. So
that's fantastic.
I was doing biological illustration, and I had a teacher that just, I loved it. That was my passion then. And he encouraged me, and he was my, he supported me through my whole, you know, education. And I used to sell artworks to, you know, the professors. I do, when they were doing studies, I would go out and pick the plants and draw them. And then for things like the Sierra Club and stuff, I did drawings and stuff. It was not a profession, but it was, you know, fun for me to do. I mean, I didn't
so
do
it was
it
kind
often
of freelance me. Work, though? They were paying you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they paid
okay.
me. But, you know, it wasn't like a job.
Yeah.
And so I've had many, you know, jobs and stuff on and off, but one of my best ones was being a middle school art teacher, and I loved that. And that's when I started blogging, and that's when I started discovering all the different artists. And I made a lot of friends from blogging during that time. I think it was about 8 to 10 years ago, and we're still all friends.
Yeah, and I think that's when I discovered you, too. I had a blog, and, you know, we were all reading each other's blogs.
Yeah.
And following what everybody was doing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the greatest. It was so great. I don't really blog as much anymore. I think because I use my Instagram more, and then my Facebook more to promote my workshops. But Instagram, I love them. Well, I love Instagram. Facebook, I like because of the connections, but Instagram seems a little more artistic to me.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So the middle school art, and then what happened with that is the funding got deleted for middle school art, and so I went back to elementary school art.
Okay.
And when I went back, education had changed, at least in our area, so it wasn't as hands-on, and it wasn't as thematic or artistic or.
Oh, what a shame.
And it was very test driven, and I just didn't fit anymore.
Okay.
And, it, you know, I won't go into it, but it was a hard time. And, my husband and I figured out a way that I could just retire early.
Okay.
And we did that. I did that. And then I started teaching. I had already known that I wanted to start teaching workshops, but that's when I really started taking off bit by bit. You know, like I taught one workshop and, you
where
know.
Where was this? Where did you figure out where you could start teaching workshops?
Well, when I want to do something, I just jump in.
Great.
How did I do my first workshop? I heard about this place up in Washington. I forgot what it was called, but the woman that ran it, at that time, she was managing the art workshops. She ended up quitting. So I had a workshop scheduled.
Okay.
And she ended up quitting and wondered if I wanted to come to her home instead.
Oh,
and so
okay.
that was on what island? It was on an island up in Washington near Bellingham.
Yeah, like Whidbey Island or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it was Whidbey Island.
Was
yes.
It? Okay.
Yeah. And so that was my first workshop. And it was great. Three or four people, maybe four. And it was wonderful. It was, you know.
Yeah, you'd already been a teacher, so that part wasn't nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really nervous.
You were, though? Okay.
Yeah, when I first start. Not every workshop, but a lot of them when I first introduced myself and you know, tell a little bit about myself, and then I move on. And I always have this gulp in my throat, and then I get over it, you know, after several sentences.
Yeah, that's not too long then.
Tell them I'm nervous, so, you know, excuse me. Like, I'll get over it. Like,
you know, eventually you'll get over it, and it doesn't take that long, so that's good.
Yeah.
For me, for any kind of public speaking, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at public speaking. But what's strange is randomly I can do 12 speeches and the 13th one will be, I'll get nervous. And I don't know why. So I can say I've got a talent for public speaking, except occasionally the first 5 minutes, I'll just kind of be very nervous. So who knows?
And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way we are. That's great. Yeah. I would like to do some public speaking sometime.
Yeah.
I think, that sounds great.
So that was just three or four students. So did you feel like you already had a following because you had your blog and you had a lot of people that were constantly reading it? Okay.
Maybe a little bit, but it seems like none of the blog people were local. They were all far away, the ones that I knew. So, it seems like now it wasn't slow, but at the time it seemed very slow. So I would just build up my following. You know, I don't think I really had a following, because people would ask me that and I would think, well, what is that? You know?
Well, you know, I think back with the blogs, you know, there was no way to track how many people
followed my blog.
Yeah. But they didn't necessarily write a comment. So you could have 500 people reading it, but three made a comment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was just like bit by bit. It was like the workshops. I was getting some smaller publications. It was my art and my blog, and it all worked together to my bigger publications, where I got to do my own book for North Light Books.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Congratulations, by the way. That's so great.
Oh,
yeah.
And then after that, that got more people to my workshop and made me have a bigger following, I think. And then I self-published a book through CreateSpace, and that helped, you know. It was a totally different type of book. So that helped as well. I don't know if you've seen that.
Is that the Dancing on Raindrops?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first tell everybody what the name of your first book was. One through Northlight.
Okay. Storytelling with Collage.
Okay.
And, got to take my own photographs for the whole book. So even my step outs. And so I was happy because I got to make them a little more artistic, you know, include, you know, little bits of nature or, you know, some little special inspiring object in my photographs. That book has techniques and it introduces you to, or the reader to, about 25 artists. That those are the artists that I met when I first started blogging.
Okay.
And so, they were people that I already knew and I've communicated with, and I really love them, or, you know, love them as friends. And then it has the techniques. I go through step by step how to do them, but it has different parts of each chapter where I had one called Windows of My World. I think that's what it's called. And I take photographs and show the reader parts of my world. And so there were different parts of each chapter that could entice you into my world, you know, as an artist, you know, little tiny town in Southern Oregon.
Right. So you're talking about, you're talking about your world and the physical space and the nature and how you sometimes gather objects from nature to use in your art.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about your physical space in your studio and where you make the art.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a session called On My Work Table today.
Okay.
You know, I do that. Yeah. So it's like all the, you know, different, I think there's four different components in every chapter.
Okay. That's great. And that's been a very successful book. So congratulations. That's nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So now tell me about the companion book, is if that's the right way to describe it. Tell me about Dancing on Raindrops.
So Dancing on Raindrops is, again, all my own photographs, but they're full page photographs. So there's no borders. I think full page bleed or something, what you call them. And so the, each spread kind of, the photographs kind of blend into each other somewhat, and they're artistically done. So they're not like perfect photographs as they might have, everything's in focus. Maybe there's just one thing in focus. And so I would call them more painterly photographs.
Yep.
There's again, the mood of the world of an artist, maybe a paintbrush, sitting on a table with some flowers and some little sketches and maybe a jar of pencils or something. But all together, they make this collage of elements that might not seem related, but they really are.
Okay. So each page or each spread is a full composition that you've created.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a story. Dancing on Raindrops is just something I thought of in the middle of the night one night. And it hadn't been used. And so I was pretty happy with that. Kind of whimsical. It's kind of, again, kind of playful and whimsical, the title is. And, you know, some of the book is too, you know. And then there are writing prompts on many of the pages to get you either to get the reader to think about things in their own life or even write and draw in the book.
Okay, so there are some hands-on things that you can do while you're looking through the book. Okay.
Yeah.
And you said this was self-published, so where can people find this book?
They can find it on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
It's on Amazon, and it's also done very well. And just under Roxanne Evans Stout, there's storytelling with collage, and then there's Dancing on Raindrops, and I can send you links for those
that's great.
As well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So you've written a couple of books and then you teaching workshops. How often a year are you doing workshops, and are some of them local or are all of them, you're traveling pretty far for them?
Yeah.
How often are you traveling?
Well, this year I'm traveling a little too much.
Okay.
And I'm going to cut back next year. This year I probably traveled like ten times by November.
Well, that's a lot when you're talking going to Europe too.
Yeah, especially with that big trip.
Yeah.
And then my next big trip is to Brooklyn. I'm teaching at the Pratt Institute in Brooklyn for 2 weeks.
You know, and here's the funny thing. Coincidentally, I'm going to New York next week, but I won't exactly be there when you're there. I thought, this would be great. We could meet in person.
Yeah.
I leave on the, I'm only there on the 22nd, and then I'm there a few days before you get there. And then I'm only there really quickly on the 22nd when we head out of town. But anyway, so
maybe another time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So this is at the Pratt Institute?
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the format of that class in Brooklyn. It's 2 week. What is it that you'll be doing for 2 full weeks? And who are the people who are signing up for that kind of a class?
Okay, so the people come from all over the world. That's where they advertise. And they seem to be, looking over my list, they seem to be college students, working towards, you know, a specific goal or a specific degree. And, so we're working Monday through Thursday, just in the morning, 12:30 or 9:30 to 1. And it's a mixed media art intensive. So, I didn't mention this, but I've also been teaching at, a college here in my area called Oregon Tech, or Oregon College of Science and Technology.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was looking at it because I had never heard of that college. Mm-hmm. So it's science and technology, and I didn't quite understand how your mixed media classes tied in with that. So maybe you could explain that.
Yeah. So there's mostly science majors, medical students, or engineers, and lots of left brain students, but right. they need the electives, and they need the humanities, and they need, you know, they need that stuff too, the more right brain stuff too. So they do have an art program. It's a small art program, but, what I did was I found out who to call, and he was the humanities advisor. And I called up on a whim on a Christmas vacation when I was, you know, not doing much. And I proposed a program for him, and he was really interested, and he had me go for a meeting with some other people too in the humanities department. And my class was born.
That's fantastic.
And so I designed it all, and it was great. And the college students were wonderful. They're very, they're hardworking. Their families mean a lot to them, and they're paying a lot of money to go to this college. So they're very respectful, and they're very left brain. And so they were so excited to use this other side of them and create. And, you know, they were wonderful. I'm taking a break right now so that because I have a too huge a schedule right now.
Okay.
But they were the best students.
And you were teaching entire semester long courses there?
Yeah, I was teaching, they weren't semesters, they were terms. So I was okay. Teaching fall, winter, spring.
Okay. All right.
Until this spring I took off.
Were they making handmade books, things like that?
No. I called it an art journal, and it's one that's on sale in all the stores. It has heavy watercolor paper in it. I forget what brand.
Oh, okay. But, so they started out with a blank book.
Yeah. And they filled it up with all different techniques, and their book was fun. It was about themselves. It was in their own style. I would, you know, give them the, I would do demos and then give them idea prompts and give them ideas, and then they would take off.
Oh, that's great.
They were just, it was great.
Oh my gosh.
So that's kind of, so that's a little bit what I'm basing my class at Pratt.
Okay.
You know, with all those experiences and, you know, all my ideas and all my projects. But in Pratt, we're going to make one bigger book at the Mixed Media Intensive, and we're going to work on kind of the same as I do my shorter workshops. We're going to work on backgrounds, and we're going to work on, you know, different techniques to, you know, finish up our pages, and different collaging techniques and all different tools. And
okay.
Yeah.
And some stitching as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you make the connection with Pratt?
So a lady that I know, she had taken one of my workshops and bought some of my art, and she works for Pratt as, you know, marketing director.
Oh, okay.
And so she kind of introduced me to the lady that runs the summer intensives. So they decided I would be a good fit.
That's
so
nice.
They started communicating with me about that.
So it, you know, everything you're doing, it's because of connections.
Yes.
Because, yeah, you're just connecting with people. You're getting your name out. And of course, you're brave enough to just call the technical institute and just say, hey, I'd like to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
But I have to tell you, in the beginning, I didn't get to say this before, but in the beginning, after that very first workshop, I actually called places. I found studios.
Did you?
I researched where other artists were doing workshops, and then I'd look them up on the map, and I'd look what town it was, and do I want to go there, and what kind of studio/gallery was it, and then I would call them myself and introduce myself.
Oh, that's great.
So I went through that phase, you know, calling and emailing them, sending samples, you know. So in the beginning, I did a lot of that.
So you were basically cold calling them.
Yeah, definitely.
Essentially, yeah. And so I'm trying to think of the time period this was. So this was before Instagram and Facebook, when you were first starting to do your workshops.
Yeah, I wasn't on Facebook yet. I took a while on Facebook.
Okay.
So it was.
You were advertising through your blog then. You were putting it out there on the blog that, hey, I'm teaching courses, or I have a calendar
Okay. Yeah. It was just blog and you know, that wasn't that much. It was just the blog wasn't promoting hardly at all. It was mostly, the blog was more personal, more like, you know, a book chapter or, you know, on my art. It wasn't so much, well, I hadn't taught that much then. So it wasn't on my teaching, but slowly on my blog, I started to have a yearly schedule of my workshops.
Okay.
And have that on a separate page.
Okay.
And
all right.
I'll do that on my website.
And I guess because you did some research and you were looking at where the other artists that you admired, where they were teaching, I guess you were calling places that were well established in terms of getting classes and they knew how to get students too. So they also had some kind of a system in place to market. Okay. All right. Well, that's great. I mean, you certainly seem like you have a head for business and you know how to go out and talk to people. Not everybody has that.
I don't know how to talk to people, but it's so funny because when you first, you know, wrote me or emailed me and we talked and your business for your podcast is, or wasn't it called The Left Brain?
Yes, that's what I call it, The Left Brain.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, but I'm not left brain at all. So,
well, and I, what I feel is that any artist that is successful and they're actively working to get their art out there in any capacity, they are using their left brain.
You're right.
They think
their
left brain at all. Yeah. And it's funny because when I did contact you, I said, yes, I'm starting this podcast and, I'm just trying to book some artists for interviews. And then you said, well, I'm going to the Netherlands. I'll get in touch with you after that. And by the time you came back from the Netherlands, I had 4 or 5 episodes. Actually,
I know. I was so excited.
Now you can actually listen to one of them.
Yeah. I thought they were great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You have a good voice and you have a wonderful way of asking questions.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I feel like I'm going off topic or I don't know. I'm getting off my chronological order of how I always try to do our conversation. But at what point did you say, okay, I have got maybe it's just this year, but I've got too many workshops or I really need to hustle and I need to get more workshops. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to find your kind of sweet spot where you say, yes, I'm doing this many workshops and I'm doing this much of what are the other things that you're doing that balances all the workshops?
Oh, so I love being at home. And I love my gardens and my studio and my husband and my dog, you know. And then I just have a new grandbaby that's about an hour and a half away. And so we're real close with my son and daughter. And so I have all those things. And those are the things. They nourish me. I feel like they nourish me. And if I have enough time for those pieces of my life, then I'm – you know, I,
that's great. That's your number one.
Yeah. Like I said, this year I have a lot of workshops and I am too busy. So next year I'm trying for one every 2 months.
Okay.
Because, and then if other people ask me, I'm going to hopefully either tie them into the traveling that I'm doing at already or let's schedule it for next year. You know, so that's how I'm going to do that because I feel like, I've just had like between some of my workshops, 3 or 4 weeks between workshops. And I feel like I'm just unpacking and then I'm starting to pack again or.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Right.
I don't just relax into my days as much. I always have jobs to do. My business part, you know, like there's a certain
catching
amount
up.
Of computer and then making art samples and, mm-hmm. We'll say the hardest part maybe is the computer stuff. It's just all the business, you know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you also getting artwork out into like brick and mortar galleries too?
Yeah. I have 2 different galleries that I have working right now and I'm keeping my eye out for, you know, another one or two, but I'm not pushing it that much. Well, actually, I will tell you, I have a friend, that she did a show. I was in a gallery in Ashland, Oregon, and they closed, and she was the assistant manager or the manager.
Okay.
Now she works for another gallery, and I did reach out to her just a few weeks ago because I have a lot of works. So I will do that. You know, there's, you know, they can just say no.
Right.
You know, and, so there's that one. And sometimes I will reach out to a gallery, but it's not the gallery. Like if someone asked me to do, like a series of 20 paintings right now or 10, I don't think I would have time to do it physically.
Right. So, well, that would be a lot for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, even if you didn't have a big teaching schedule. Yeah.
So I could be more open to that.
Okay.
And also there's these things called calls to artists or call for art.
Yep.
And have you seen those? Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, when I do my artist interview, a couple days later, I do a mini business episode.
I know. So, I like those.
So one of them will be about calls to artists.
Good.
Because I've actually written many of them and managed many of them. So, and I can do the whole, let me give you a do's and don'ts list for calls to artists or this is how to increase your chances of getting into a show. So yeah, I've done a lot with calls to artists.
Yeah, well, those are really, I love doing them.
Yeah.
I love
they are fun.
Work and maybe getting something in and, you know, I've had some really good experiences with those. And I think you can find the subject matters. There's a place online. It's a website called Cafe.
Yep. Call for Entry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. It's callforentry.org.
Yeah. That's a great one.
It is.
Yeah.
So yeah, because that one you're finding calls to artists from all over the United States and you can sort them by theme. You can sort them by geographic location. You can sort them by, I forget what else, you know, but they'll tell you which ones are due soon, which ones you have a couple months to worry about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 And then you usually have to pay a fee to enter your work. So you have to have that extra money to just kind of in the beginning, that's kind of hard.
Yeah, you know, and what I find some people do is they'll just set up a budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can, they'll say, okay, I can afford $200 in admission fees or rather submission fees over the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do I?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And that way you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, this $200, it has a lot of value to me. I want to get a lot of value out of the call to artists. So you're not just going to enter all of them.
Yeah.
You're going to enter ones that are very specific.
That's great.
So, calls to artists, and they can be fun too, because some of them are contests and some of them have cash prizes and some of them have, you know, great recognition and, and then others are just fun. You know, like sometimes you see a mail art challenge, and that's just fun to do, just to send a piece of decorated mail to something.
Yeah,
that's good. So in the galleries that you said you had a couple of galleries, are they in Southern Oregon? They're local generally?
Yeah.
What type of art do you have in there? Are they handmade books or?
It's in Northern California. It's in Mount Shasta, which is very close. You know, just like a few miles down or like an hour and a half down the road.
Yep.
But, so they have a bunch of, they have some of my, they're all mixed media pieces. Some of them are on paper. Some of them are in wood and they have some of my, encaustic pieces and they have like, actually my, surfaces are like canvas, board and paper. So they have a mixture, but they all go together really well. And I have their, their collages. They're, you know, different. They all have nature in them. Most of them have some kind of stitching or attaching.
Okay.
Very
nice.
Yeah. And I called them. So I called them.
There you go.
Myself a few years ago. And I saw their gallery and the lady was super nice and she wanted to know more about me and she saw my website and they had no one like me in their gallery. It was more representational. So it worked out.
That's great.
So that's how, you know, that's how I'll do things. I'll just.
Okay.
And I can be really shy sometimes, but sometimes when it comes, maybe when it comes to something I believe in, I won't be shy, you know?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think that's true. It's something that anything that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to be shy. You know, you're not afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. You know, and, I think that's great, but I think the more other artists hear people like you say that out loud, the more they're going to be brave enough to do it too.
Yeah.
You know, where you say, I just walked up.
Yeah. Because calling her and, you know, connecting with her and then emailing back and forth, you know, the owner, she could have just said, oh no, I'm sorry. It just won't fit. Or she could have just not even written me back, but
right.
I did it. And I've had that before, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure you did the research ahead of time that you had been into the gallery or shop. You had seen what type of work was in there. You hadn't?
No.
Oh, no.
But I looked it up online. I did look it up
online. Oh, no. That's what I tell people not to do.
Don't look them up online. Sorry.
<That's great. laughs>
No, I would have gone in there.
That,
I would have
then.
Gone in there and loved it, but I didn't go in there until they asked me to bring work to show them, and then I went in there and I brought a lot of work and I loved it.
Funny.
And then they wanted to take everything. So that was pretty cool. It was
that's great.
It was like 30 pieces because I had been building up ever since my other gallery closed.
Oh, sure.
You know, so when I do art, like during the week, I like to work on different things. I might work on some books and maybe a sample for a class and artist books or maybe a big journal and maybe a canvas or something over here. So I have all of this going all the time.
Oh, that's great.
So back to the, do you tell people not to just go look at them online?
Yeah, I say you need to go in there and see. You need to make sure that they have your style of art or something close enough or the price range or.
That is the best thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, I've just totally lost my train of thought. You've thrown me off.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Well, I was going to ask you one more thing about that. So you said that you had a lot of inventory because one of your galleries had closed down. How do you keep track of your inventory? So once it goes out to other locations, so you may have, you know, a dozen pieces at this gallery, you may have a couple that you've submitted for this call to artists. Do you have a method of how you're keeping track of everything?
Well, I'm not very good at all that stuff, I'm trying to be better. I always I write a list of everything and the price and the title and what,
perfect,
you know,
yeah.
So, but I think the best thing for me is because when pieces sell, I'm not sure which ones they are because when I named the title, I wasn't, you know, I was, naming my pieces and then like 2 years I would forget or 1 year later.
Well, yeah. If you can connect it with the photograph.
I'm going to make a spreadsheet for the next time and then, have the price and the name. And then when it's sold, I'll know that one's sold or in my photo albums on my Mac. I can make albums for the specific places.
That's a great idea. So all you're doing is you're just moving them to a different folder.
Yeah. And they're still with your main photos, but they're over here. So, you know,
this is a gallery album and this is a sold album. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you don't really even have to have a spreadsheet if you've just put them all sorted the photos in one folder. Yeah.
Right. And then when you have to submit things for workshops, like bigger workshops or magazine articles, then I will put them in a folder on my desktop. You know, current works and photos for cloth, paper, scissors, this article or photos for, Art and Soul. That's a big retreat.
I've actually been to that one a few times.
Yeah,
I have. My brother lives up in Portland. And so I discovered that, despite being on the other side of the country, me living in Florida, it was much cheaper for me to go to Art and Soul because I stayed with my brother and I didn't rent a car or get a hotel or anything. So I went there like 5 years in a row.
Oh, that's great. I love the people that run it. And so I'm doing that next year.
Oh, great.
This will be my third, third year there, I believe.
Oh, that's great.
And then I'm going to do the one in Colorado too this year.
Oh, good.
For those type of things, you have to send sample photos and descriptions of your workshop and supply lists and everything. So it's quite a lot of work initially.
Do they have submission guidelines that you can find online?
Yeah.
Okay. They do. So that's what so people would look for submission guidelines for the large retreats or some of these other places. Okay.
Yeah. And they're all pretty much the same. They're all like 3 photos or 3 to 5 photos and a nice description. What you do is you research again, you look at what other artists are writing about their workshops, you know, and make it sound fun and exciting and tell about what you're doing all in like a large paragraph.
Right. And, you know, we've got so much of these resources available to us because you can just look up, okay, who were the artists who were at last year's Art and Soul, for example? Mm-hmm. What were the type of classes that they were doing? How do they describe them? Because they've obviously already been accepted in. So all you're doing is you're just emulating what some other successful artist has already done. And then you'll be successful too.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. I know I'm oversimplifying this.
But there's you can enlarge your vocabulary to include words that are going to be exciting to other artists, or, you know, what do the artists who are going to take your workshop, what are they looking for? What do they need? How can you provide it? How can you verbalize it so that they know you're.
Okay. Yeah. And so for something large, like Art and Soul Retreat, which is a week long, and I don't know how many instructors she has. Is it, 60 or over a week or maybe even more? But how many months out do they plan?
Sometimes a year in advance, sometimes more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at this point, do you already have commitments for 2019 for workshops?
Yes, I'm almost done with my schedule.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's great. So that gives me an idea of how that
works. Sometimes it's even a year and a half in advance. So that's a little difficult in that whatever you're describing in your workshop description, you have to teach that. So even if you change, can't really change your mind too much because those students are expecting to do, what they saw in the samples or what they read about.
Right. That makes sense. So, you can't suddenly say, I'm tired of teaching this because you're committed.
You can add things. You can add new things, but you have to stick with your description and your supply list. And
You mentioned before writing articles. Have you written a lot of magazine articles for Cloth, Paper, Scissors or some of the other publications?
I've done a lot maybe not a lot, like not every month for Cloth, Paper, Scissors, but maybe a couple a year. And then I just finished one that's going to be out in the winter, next winter. Then I've just done one, I think, for Somerset, but I haven't really pursued them yet. I like Cloth, Paper, Scissors. I know the quality is beautiful in Somerset, but for some reason I like content studio, and I love the people there and Cloth, Paper, Scissors and they know me. So,
right. Yeah. And so they both have submission guidelines in the back of the magazine.
And online as well. You can find a lot of information and you can also, again, look back at all the old magazines and see, how do people, how do they do this? Their articles.
What's the format?
How many photographs will they have? How many pages? And sometimes it's this, sometimes it's this, but they'll give you for your first article, they'll give you a very specific example that they can use, that you can use to, and see how things are laid out,
Okay. Now, I also noticed on your website that you've also done art lessons with Cloth, Paper, Scissors.
Yeah.
Those were like mini, how would you describe them? Mini classes?
Those are great. They're very inexpensive and they're videos of me doing a lesson and they're step by step, written out. They're like 9 or 10 pages on the computer and there's step-by-step directions. There's a lesson and then there's a few extra things here and there. And like I have one on stitching on your artwork and one on using gesso and I forgot what the other one is, but they're really great, short, beautiful videos. Their presentation is I did the videos myself, but their presentation is wonderful. You know, they lay everything out. It's so clear.
And so you made these little videos, but you made them a couple of years ago, but they'll just remain on their site.
Yeah.
Forever like or something?
You have them on your computer. Yeah.
Once you buy it. Okay.
Yeah. So you have the link on your computer.
Oh, that's
great. I think you download them.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And then you own it. Yeah. You've done other online classes as well that you can access from your website?
Yeah. I have several online classes. Several. Two are older before I got my really nice video equipment. And so they're not as clear or as focused as my newer ones. So Basically I made them for free. I just decided to offer them for free. You know, so people can still, those are my first ones. I was still learning. I still feel like they have lots of great material. So I want people to have them. So they're there for people if they want them. They still have to follow the links, but they don't have to pay anything. And then I have two of my main ones, which are pretty large because they have all the videos and they have also blogs with step-by-step directions. And those are, I'm really proud of those. Those are great. They're more all-encompassing. They talk about, you know, some writing. They talk about, you know, things to think about, but they're very hands-on. And Pathways and Wanderings is my first big one that I did. Mm-hmm. And it actually does have a writing component. Yeah. And then it has, you make a beautiful book, a book of wanderings, and it's about the seasons. And so that's, you know, I still have people sign up for that. Like I've had hundreds of people take it from all over the world. And then, my other one, Victory Shields and Wisdom Keepers, that's more hands-on making assembling things.
Okay.
Their hands that you can still hang up or use or, but they're not in the book form. Necessarily. And then I have one with Jeannie Oliver designs and she invites artists to do workshops with her company.
Right.
And that's been really, really, really exciting. I think within the first month I had like 700 people sign up.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
And that's because Jeannie Oliver has a much larger reach.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
So,
wow.
So I would, you know, I would encourage people, you know, there's people that start doing online workshops by inviting artists and stuff. And I would encourage people to try that if they haven't done their own yet, because, you know, it's not as lucrative if you do a workshop for someone else, but it sure gets your name out there.
And that's great.
Although I did it later, you know, after I already had kind of a name from my other workshops.
Okay.
And then I'm doing one for Mary Beth Shaw for Stencil Girl. And it's out in a, do you know who that?
Well, I know Stencil Girl Products.
Yeah.
But are you talking about an actual online class with
her? Yeah, she's expanding her website to do online classes, and they're coming out just, I think, pretty soon, like maybe a few days. And she's like an amazing artist and businesswoman, and she's a very sweet friend as well. But so I did one with her just a few months ago, and they did all the filming and the editing.
Oh, great.
And so that was a whole different way, you know, to do them. So that's going to be on my website soon too.
So for Jeannie Oliver, did you do the,
yes.
Am I saying her name right? Is it Jean or Jeannie?
Jeannie Oliver. I did the videotaping.
You did it. Okay.
And I did the editing.
Okay. But Stencil Girl Products is going to be completely different then. Okay.
Yeah. But they put it all together in this nice format. They, you know, make it accessible on their site. But the neat thing about her site is we get to, after a year, we get to ownership of it and we get to have it on our site too and sell
it. Right? Oh, that's interesting. That's Jeannie Oliver's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they all have different, they all will pay you different amounts and different percentages, and they all have their own way of doing things.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to imagine how you squeeze in all these things in your life, especially with all the travel that you did this year. Are we missing anything else in the world of art that you're doing right now?
No, because I took a break from the Oregon tech. I took from the college. And then, between November and January, or February next year, no, maybe even March, I'm going to have some time off. So that's when I'm going to do another online workshop.
So you'll fill it with something. You have time off, so you fill it with something.
Yeah. And then maybe I'll get tired of that. And the one I did with Mary Beth, the one I just filmed, my online workshop, I did a workshop at her studio in St. Louis, and then she had me stay an extra day, and she had the filming team that came, and we did the filming the day after. So it was that was very easy to do.
Right. You did one trip and accomplished two big things. That's great.
So basically on my months off, I'll do an online workshop, but you're right.
Wendy, you said that you've got most of 2019 booked for your travel. When do you usually put that on your calendar, on your website?
Usually at the beginning of the year, but I might do it earlier.
Okay.
You know, maybe in November.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know that are you going overseas for any of your workshops next year?
I don't think so. I was going to go to Sweden, but we think we're going to wait till the next year. So I'm not sure. I don't think so. I want to see how the New York one, how that works. My Brooklyn works. And I just want to, we'll see. I have a little spot there just in case.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. So you've got this calendar and you're plugging in all these things in the holes of your calendar.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm trying to just do it every other month next year. So that's not so many holes next year.
Okay. So we'll see if
I can do that.
So when you go to Brooklyn in a couple of weeks, have they told you yet how many students you're going to have?
Yeah, I just have a handful right now. It keeps on going up and down. It's not going to be a large class.
Okay. Well, maybe that'll make it more intimate, a little more fun.
Yeah, it'll be great.
That's great. Yeah. Have we missed anything? You want to talk about anything else? We've covered a lot.
For you, have we covered all different business things and different ideas? And
yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know, and I think one of the biggest things that artists do have a problem with is the bravery of just asking for something. And I think you definitely have that. I don't know if there's a magic formula for how to get the bravery, but I think when people hear others have done it, and you know, the world didn't collapse just because you walked into a gallery and they don't know you and you ask them if you can show them your work, that makes pulls up other artists as well. So I think that's good.
Yeah. And sometimes I have done that, walked into a gallery and told them a little bit about myself, and then they'll just say, no, I don't think so. Just like that. And it's like,
oh gosh,
I'll look rude. rude. But so in that way, it's better to be prepared. You know, maybe go in and see them. Don't say anything. Maybe check them out online. Maybe send an email and then maybe go in again.
Yeah. You're just saying that now because I said that.
No, I'm not. Keep trying. No, but if they're snooty, then just don't. Sometimes gallery people are, you know, a little.
Yeah. So where can people find you? What's the name of your website?
Okay, so my website is really easy. It's www.roxanneevansstout.com, all lowercase.
Okay.
And then there's lots of, you know, places you can go on that. They have a little directive on top, or like an index on top.
The menu. Okay.
You can go to online workshops or my regular workshops, or
all of them are on your website. Great.
Yeah.
And what about your Instagram and your Facebook?
My Instagram is also Roxanne Evans Stout.
Okay.
And Facebook, I believe that's it too.
Great. Okay.
Do you want me to send you those links?
No, I'll get them. So I'll put all those links on the show notes for this interview. So this has been great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing Roxanne Evans Stout talk about her art business and her inspiration. I hope she's given you some ideas, too, about how you can approach galleries and how you can develop your own online and live classes. I've got links to where you can find her in the show notes. Here are some great takeaways from this episode. Number one, see how you can be inspired by your natural environment. As Roxanne says, this land makes me who I am as an artist. I love that. Number two, make connections with your local galleries. Then just call them. Don't be afraid to walk in and show them some of your art. Number three, research where other people are teaching workshops and consider if that's a town where you'd like to go and a studio where you'd like to teach. Number four, look at the submission guidelines for your favorite art magazines and consider submitting an article. Number five, you can also consider technical schools as a place to teach your art. Often they have art requirements that must be met, and you can develop the perfect class for them. Number six, online classes through another website are a great option, as they have the experience to help you develop them and the following to get you loads of students. Number seven, if you've got a book idea, consider self-publishing, as Roxanne did with her second book, Dancing on Raindrops. Number eight, and finally, Roxanne has booked most of her workshops for 2019 already, so check out her website around November for the complete list. I hope Roxanne has inspired you to be brave enough to walk into a gallery and to consider teaching your art. Be sure to visit her website, RoxanneEvansStout.com, where you can find all her workshops as well as links to her books. Thank you to Roxanne for speaking to me today and giving me a glimpse of her River Garden studio. And thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I'm Suzanne Redman. See you next time.